Well, good morning, Westwood Church, and welcome. If you're in the lobby, we certainly would invite you to come and join us in the auditorium, and a big warm welcome to each and every one of you. A warm welcome also to those of us in our online community. We're so grateful for each one who is finding their way into our church family in some meaningful way, and for some, it's in person, for others, it's online, and so we're grateful for that. Well, It's a beautiful day on this Labor Day long weekend, and we're trusting that God is going to meet us today in a very, very real sense. It's an opportunity for us to share communion together as we worship together. It's an opportunity to hear some testimonies of what God's been doing in our lives a little bit later, kind of in our teaching time. And it's an opportunity to once again just connect as the people of God, declaring who God is and what He's done for us. And so we're so grateful for each and every one of you who has come and joining us in this worship service. For my family and I, it's been a number of weeks now that we've not been around. We've been on holidays, and so had quite an enjoyable, restful time away, traveled a few kilometers, visited a lot of family, and slept in a lot of different beds. So, I'm not sure, actually, as I think about it, whether or not it was super restful, because every time you're in a new bed, you know, that whole night kind of changes, and so we slept in a lot of beds, but we're back. We were able to get our oldest daughter, Adriana, settled into Bible college, and in a couple of weeks, we're sending off our second off to a different Bible college, and so we're kind of in a different sort of life stage with this sort of kind of, you know, challenging myself and Leanne as we think about the next chapter in our life. One of the things that I was not anticipating when I left on holidays was this fast rise of what we're calling the fourth wave. And so coming back once again to the challenges and the adaptations that are being asked of us as BCers and as folks in the north, once again creates a challenge, creates maybe some level of frustration or anxiety. And so some of our church family are wondering, so what are we going to do? How are we going to respond as the people of God? What is our response in the face of this new reality? And so our elders have spent a little bit of time talking about this, and we want to share a few of our thoughts this morning with you just at the start of this service so that we can kind of, you know, get on the same page and be unified about a couple of things that we're asking of our congregation. So I want to invite Bob Gammer, our chairman of our board of elders, to come and just to share a few of our thoughts as we navigate this next curve in the COVID road. So Bob, thanks for sharing this morning.
Thanks very much, Rob. And good morning to everybody online and here in the sanctuary. So as Rob said, certainly people are asking, what is the right approach? And is there one approach? Well, what we're going to say is we're going to encourage people within the Westwood family to wear masks when you're in the building here. The public health order doesn't specify exactly, you know, like before where we had only so many people could be in here and we couldn't sing. Fortunately, right now, as you know, the restrictions don't call for that. But out of an abundance of caution and certainly out of care for one another, we want to encourage the wearing of masks. Encourage, not shall, and this isn't a command, but encourage the wearing of masks when you are here in the building. Staff are also wearing masks, as you'll see, and for them, it's partly also because it's a workplace, and so there are WorkSafe BC regulations. So out of a respect for those regulations as well, and just to prevent the spread of any variants, we want to try to just care for one another in this way. And so we ask that people would wear a mask. And so we appreciate that. I see lots of people are. Now, when I say encourage, again, like I say, this isn't a rule. So if those who feel like they can't wear a mask or don't want to wear a mask, we respect that. but I'm saying that we would encourage everyone to do so if you wouldn't mind. So thank you for listening to that. Now, there may be differences of opinion, and obviously that's fine. I mean, that's just the way we are as a group of people. You bring in a lot of people, you're going to have a lot of different opinions. And so we respect that as well as a board of elders. And as we discussed amongst ourselves in this past week, what should be the approach, what should be the answer, this is what we've come up with. So I hope you appreciate that. And if you do have questions, you can certainly reach out to any one of us as elders. To support some of what our thinking is, it's based on Scripture. And so we think that it's best that you also hear this Scripture and give it consideration as yourself. So that way, you can kind of appreciate where we're coming from. So I've got a few Scriptures I'd like to read, if you'll just bear with me. So Romans chapter 14, verses 14 to 23. Paul is writing, "As one who is in the Lord, Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food," and in this case food, we can also think about COVID restrictions and how we would practice caring for one another, "but no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin." Also, in James chapter 3, verses 13 and 17, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life and by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom." And in verse 17, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." And then just lastly, I wanted to end with the words of our Savior in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Thanks, Robert.
Thank you, Bob. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we just are grateful this morning that we can come together in this place and worship you, lifting your name up high and remembering that we gather around a risen Savior who brings life and hope and goodness and grace to each one, to our entire world. And so, Lord, today we just acknowledge that we trust in you, our hope is in you. The psalmist reminds us that we don't place our trust in horses or in chariots, but we place our trust in you and in you alone. And so again, we just invite you to work among us and in us lifting our eyes to you, lifting those who are weary and tired, again, just reminding us that you're in control of all things. And so we just love you, and we worship you this morning as we've gathered together. Thank you for each one that's come, and we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand together as we worship.
Awesome. Thank you, Rob. How many of you are up for being reminded that our battle is already won? You may have come in feeling like, man, this world is like a battlefield, and you're just tired and weary. Well, the good news is that Jesus has already won the battle. The enemy doesn't get to win, even if it feels like he's winning or taking ground. So we want to introduce a new song to you this morning. We want to sing and remind ourselves of that truth. So let's sing this together.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is a mountain, you see your mountain. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight, I fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet, and I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible. Against the power of all.
declare that bridge again, Almighty Fortress.
Almighty Fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadow, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. And Almighty Fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God.
Sing, so when I fight,
so when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night, oh God, battle belongs to you. Oh God, battle belongs to you.
Sing, if our God is for us,
and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if
let's declare this, our God is greater.
Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. Our God,
one more time, sing our God.
You may be seated for a moment. We want to celebrate in communion this morning, and as we do, and in light of you know, what's going on around us, and again, just the different challenges of this new season that we find ourselves in, I think it's really appropriate, as we think about communion this morning and we think about the theme of unity, which Jesus speaks about to his disciples prior to going to the cross to die, because I'm convinced we live in polarizing times. Days, certainly, that I've never, you know, experienced in my life, maybe you as well, where the polarity of life, of people, of convictions, of even, you know, church is so different one from the other, or potentially. You know, so everything from, you know, beliefs on COVID and vaccines and, you know, ways of life, cancel culture. You kind of go through life and you go, wow, like we live in this very, very polarizing day. And it can be super discouraging. It can be super frustrating. It can feel often that there's just a sense of hopelessness. And it can, I believe, penetrate and invade even the body of Christ, the life of the church. So that's you and me, people who proclaim to be followers of Jesus, and yet, you know, find ourselves often just like at odds with other people. And I think it must grieve the heart of God greatly, because God revealed through Jesus a different way to live, a better way to live, and it's a way that he desires for us. So as I was thinking about, you know, communion this morning, I thought about this passage in John chapter 17. I appreciated the words that Bob shared about in John 13 about the love that we have for one another. And in John 17, you know, Jesus kind of carries on that theme, and he's about to go to the cross to die for your sin, for my sin, for all of these things that we do, our thoughts, our actions, that create this polarity, this polarization between each other and ultimately God. And he prays for himself, he prays for his disciples, and then he prays for all believers, the church. And so he says, my prayer is not for them alone. He's talking about his disciples now. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. So those who do not yet know the message of Jesus, I pray for those as well, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Wow. Like, Jesus prays for unity for his believers, his followers, so that the world might know that we are his, with this incredible love. I'm absolutely amazed at that, because we know we fail so often in this unity and how we live it out. And yet that didn't stop, and Jesus knew that, but that didn't stop him from praying for us in that regard. So I think it's really, really appropriate this morning, as we share in communion, that we think about this unity that Jesus desires for us in the midst of a world that is so polarizing. Let's come together around Jesus, the one who actually unites us. Jesus who loves us, Jesus who died for us, Jesus who forgives us, Jesus who makes us new, who cleanses us. I just hope and pray that we would be able to experience afresh that unity, even this morning as we celebrate communion. You might be here this morning and you don't know what communion is and why we eat this bread, why we drink this juice in this little cup. Well, real briefly, communion is participation by eating and drinking this bread and this cup, participation in what Jesus has done for us, by dying for us, for our sin. And the scriptures say that every time we eat, every time we drink of in this way, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And so we're we're reminded about what Jesus has done and that he's coming again. And this gives us hope. So in doing that, entering into it with that spirit, there's an understanding. We have an understanding of what we're doing. It's not just eating and drinking for nothing. It's because we have an understanding of what Jesus Christ has done for us, and we've received it, and we're giving thanks for that. And so I would invite you, maybe even today, if today is a day of understanding for the first time that Jesus died for your sin, and he has prayed for you to be unified together with other believers so that the world might know that there is a God who loves them, then today would be a great day to celebrate with us around this Lord's table. And so you have your cup and your wafer. And again, if this is by way of instruction, and for all those of you at home, online this morning, if you've been able to get some bread and some juice, I'd invite you to take it. The bread reminding us, again, of what Jesus did for us, a body, his body that was broken so that you and I could have eternal life. Jesus said he is the bread of life. He is sufficient and our whole provision. So let's eat in remembrance of Jesus this morning. Thank you so much, Lord, for the gift of life, the gift of salvation that we have solely because of you. Thank you that you've broken down the barriers, and you have brought us together as one body, as your children. And you call us the church, as imperfect and blemished as we are. And so, Lord, we just thank you for the body that sustains us and gives us life today. Lord, we also thank you for your blood, which was shed so that our sin could be forgiven and we can be free both for now and forever. And so, Lord, we thank you and we drink in remembrance of you. Let's drink together as well. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's stand together and sing.
Promise good to me, his word. God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. Let's sing, my chains are gone, I've been set free, my God, my Savior, has ransomed me. Shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be my chains are gone, I've been set free, my God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing.
You may be seated. And thank you. Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. Pastor Corinne's going to be, in the coming days, probably speaking a little bit more about some of the opportunities that we have to serve in different aspects of worship arts. So I'm going to leave that to Corinne in the coming days, right? And if you perhaps are out there and thinking about ways of serving, maybe in through some aspect of music or other aspect of worship or technical, Corinne is going to be wanting to have a conversation with you. And so I thank you for all the work that they've done over this last months, this last year and a half. It's been a lot of adaptations along the way. So we certainly appreciate everything that they have done. So this morning, we're coming to a conclusion of our summer series that we've spent in 1 and 2 Samuel, looking at the life of David. And we started back in early summer, and we kind of went all the way through, and here we are wrapping it up on Labor Day weekend in September. Now, initially, I was planning on doing kind of a bit of a wrap-up sermon from a short verse in Acts chapter 13 and verse 36, where the writer of Acts, Luke, summarizes David's life like this. After David had served God's purposes in his generation, he died. That's the summary of David's life from Luke's perspective. After David had served God's purposes in his generation, he died. While it's cryptic, I actually think it's kind of a neat legacy. Serving God's purposes in the generation that he has given to us, and then moving on, fading away, going on to glory with Jesus. That's what I was going to do. But instead, what we're going to do is to declare to one another what God has been teaching us through his servant, David, and how we're living that out. A number of weeks ago, I shared about, you know, the purposes of a worship gathering like this, and I talked about how it's an opportunity to declare our voice to God as we worship, as we sing, as we pray, as we share communion together. We lift up Jesus. We declare who God is to each other and to the world. I also said that it's God's opportunity to declare to us what he has already said in his word. And then third, I said it's an opportunity to declare to one another how God is at work in our lives. And so one of the things that that we're doing over the course of the fall, our pastoral staff have talked this through and come to an agreement that the first Sunday of every month, we're going to actually take this teaching time and declare to one another what God is teaching us, what he's already said to us in his word, and how we're living it out. How is God's word impacting us so that we can be an encouragement to one another and help one another to grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ? I actually believe this is super, super important. Why? Because people need to know that others are actually, this actually works. That God is working and moving in people's lives. He's transforming them and maybe, you know, experiencing similar stories that they are and hearing about it. So that's what we're going to do today. So that's a little bit of a kind of an introduction. So just to remind us as to kind of where we've come from with this whole journey through 1 and 2 Samuel, let me just kind of capture a couple of the highlights as you're thinking about what it is that God has taught you and how you're living it out. So we started with David as this young teenager, perhaps, being called by God in this unlikely way when his dad and his brothers just totally dismissed him, forgot about him, and yet God had his hand on him and called him from the back 40 to serve God's people. And that was the beginning. From there, we went on and we discovered how that zeal and desire to kind of love the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength was demonstrated with Goliath. And when everyone else was fearful, David made a choice and he kind of moved forward, in God's power and saw God work in mighty ways. We looked at his friendship with Jonathan. And how what an amazing friendship he had, in spite of the bizarre dynamics with Saul and David. Like that shouldn't have been a friendship at all. And yet David had this amazing friendship with Jonathan. This loyalty that emerged from them is a huge, huge lesson in life. We talked about how David didn't let Saul get the best of him, or how David was letting God do his work in his way and in his time. He had so many opportunities to kind of just get Saul out of the picture, and he always chose to trust in God, to trust in God's timing, to do it God's way rather than kind of force things or manipulate things and do it his way. Wow, lots of lessons there. Then we kind of took a shift, and we looked at a lot of challenges that David actually experienced, because his life wasn't a life of perfection. It was actually a life that included a lot of heartache and a lot of failure. moral failure, spiritual failure, the consequences of that with his family, challenging life after some of those moral failures that David experienced. And we discover that in some respects, you know, like David is kind of a lot like us in all these ways. We want to serve God, we want to follow him, and yet we stumble and we fall and we kind of have these curves in the road. And then yet David experienced forgiveness. What does it look like when we experienced a cleansing, a renewal, confession, repentance, turning back, towards God after we've messed up? So huge, huge lessons in the life of David. And I'm only touching on a few. You probably are thinking about others as I kind of draw some of these highlights out. And then at the very end of his life, you know, the Luke, the writer of Acts, says, you know, after David had served God's purposes in his generation, he died. And so today, I want to invite us to declare amongst one another the different stories, the different lessons that God is teaching us through his word, through his servant David, who had all of these kind of experiences in life. And wouldn't it be awesome if we could encourage one other person today because of what God is doing in our lives? So we have set it up so that we've got two mics. We've got a mic down on the floor. If you're maybe challenged with stairs, or, you know, and my knee was even creaking today a little bit, so I was like, okay, that's not good. So we have a mic there that you can come up to, and then we have a mic up here, and the difference is because we have an online community, and this mic here allows us to kind of project a little bit better, but we want to give people access. And so two mics to come to, and would invite you to come and participate this morning. If you could, try not to touch the mic or the stand. Sound techs and folks would appreciate that, and also just kind of abides with our various restrictions and kind of loving one another in practical ways. And so you've had an opportunity to think a little bit about it. We've kind of put it out there the last couple of weeks that this is what we're going to do, and I am trusting that God is going to work in your lives and going to nudge you accordingly. I have not asked anyone to actually pre-make a testimony just in case, you know, like nobody's going to come. Why? Because I believe God's Spirit is at work in his people, and he's teaching and leading and guiding us. And so let's encourage one another with the lessons of faith that God is teaching us through his servant David. Who wants to be first this morning? Too bad we couldn't. It would be awesome if we had the folks online that they could kind of send their stories in as well, and we could actually pop them up here on the screen. And if I had thought about that before right now, that would have been awesome. But I didn't, and so we're gonna trust the folks here among us this morning. Who would like to share?
I missed the last couple weeks because we were on holidays, so I've been thinking about this for exactly like 38 seconds. But the last year and a half has been really interesting for all of us, and I'm definitely no exception. But one of the biggest things that has really been impressed on me over the last year especially is just what it means to be involved in the church and son of God, the first of which, what it means to be part of the church. It's not necessarily just being in this building and, you know, spending time with each other, but it's really about gathering with other like-minded people and celebrating who God is and who God is in each of us. And another thing that I've come to really appreciate is just the fact that we're not all created the same, that we're all different, and that's awesome. I was just thinking about C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity. If you haven't read it, it's awesome. One of my favorite quote. Definitely not going to actually quote it verbatim because that's not my skill. but he essentially says that the Holy Spirit is similar to salt. If you taste salt on its own, it has a very strong flavor, and you don't really quite understand how it could actually, you know, complement something. But then if you add it to something like broccoli, all of a sudden it takes something that's very bland and makes it quite good. So similarly, like, we're all created very differently, but once you add the Holy Spirit, then it makes us a more genuine version of who we are from what I've, the reading that I've done. And so it's been fun just exploring, like, different personality types and different gender roles and different job roles and the boundaries and ideas that God has behind each of those things. And there's a ton. He actually wants to use us where we're at, not just here in the building. And that's been, well, I mean, it's been very impactful for this year, because for a good chunk of this year, we haven't been here. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate that so much. Yeah. John. And just, you know, just keep coming. Grab a seat in the front here, and that way we can keep rolling.
Yeah. Oh, wow. David and Saul. And offense. Saul was offended. And there's a root of offense that he could not shake. And he continued with his offense. Well, you know how far he took offense. And I just... That is such a big part of my life as well, is that I struggle with offense. I do not know how to let it go. And it grows, and it affects the people around me. Just like Saul could not shake the offense that he had against David. And he lost his own family as a result of that. And so that's been a really challenging message for me, to understand how to let go of offenses and not to go as far as Saul did. You know, to let it go, just to let it go, is a very challenging, that's probably my biggest challenge in the Christian life, is to let it go, to let offenses go. With God's help and his grace, it does work.
Yeah. Amen. Thanks, John. Thank you.
Hello. My name's Cal. Over the last year, my whole life has crumbled apart. I went from being a successful tradesperson working at a pulp mill with a family to being unemployed, to being homeless. There was a criminal organization that tried to take advantage of me, and I was led astray by these East Indians who tried to convince me that Jesus didn't exist and everything was made up. And then I believed that, because it all kind of, with everything that's going on, nobody knows what to believe anymore. There's so much doubt in everything. There's so much division. So, I got to the point where all of a sudden I started getting, this man started speaking to me. I was selling something, and then God was speaking to me through this man, and it kept leading to these things I couldn't explain. Like, the only thing I could explain was that God was giving me signs that I was on the wrong road. And then from that, I ended up going to this church, and I was nervous, anxious. I didn't know where my next meal was coming from. I'm raising two children on my own. And the sermon that day was about faith, and I realized that's what I'd lost. And then I thought of how Jesus sent his 12 apostles off. He said to take nothing but the shirts on their back, not even a change of tunic, and they created everything. They look at the statue of Jesus over Rio. Look at the buildings. Like look at, and it's all Christianity. It's all of us together, but there's still division between this church and this church. Like if all of us Christians were united, just in faith in God, that we would be a powerful force, more than what the evil in what government is trying to push on us, control. We have the power within us through Jesus. And since I'm not afraid of anything anymore. That fear has been taken from me. Like I have faith now. I don't sell things now. I give them away. And when I give something away, something else comes in return. I was evicted from my last place. I had nowhere to live, and then all of a sudden, I had a place to live. Like, and it's just you don't always get what you want, but God, if you have faith, you get what you need, and I'm seeing it daily, and I'm seeing it through my children. My children, they see things how they are, and you just have to listen. Even small things, like I'll be sitting outside. I sit outside and pray in the morning, and then there's a bird that sits up there, and it's a sign of the presence of God is with me. God is in nature. God told me that. He told me that in front of my eyes. I was texting with this pastor, and at that point, I believed that God was the planet, and I wrote to him, God is nature, and a delayed reaction, in front of my eyes, the words changed from God is nature to God is in nature. It was something I couldn't explain, and every time I feel God's presence, I'm brought to tears. I'm like 41 years old, and I find myself crying a lot, and it's very spiritual.
What's your name, sir?
My name is Callum.
Cal? Okay. Can I pray with you, Cal?
Absolutely. Awesome.
Thank you, Lord, for Callum. Thank you for how you're working in his life and drawing him closer to you. And so today we thank you for providing for him practically, and we ask that you would continue to give guidance in all ways of life. Help us, Lord, as a church family to walk with him, to come closer to you, and to understand you in the fullness of Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Kel.
Thank you.
Amen.
We need to be united as believers of Jesus, and not what you see in the media is what they want you to see. What you really need is faith inside you, and follow your heart, and your gut will tell you what's real.
Thanks, Kel. Thanks, amen. Who else would like to share this morning lessons from David and the journey that David was on? Hi, Danielle.
Hello. I feel like this year, it was pretty special in the spring and the summer. I found myself revisiting 1 Samuel a lot, and so coming to church, it was crazy that we were also studying it. So I felt like the Lord was speaking to me a lot, and then I had the opportunity to share at youth a little bit. And the biggest takeaway that I wanted to share with the youth, that I want to share with you guys, is just like the difference between Saul and David, like that was shared earlier, and just this idea that like it's really easy to be critical of Saul, but how often do we stop and look and see the same traits in ourselves? Like we want to be like David, but we find ourselves acting like Saul. Saul is jealous. Saul is prideful, and Saul forgets the Lord. And David is humble. David remembers the Lord, and the David waits on the Lord's timing. And the Lord has just been, that just has been coming to mind a lot in moments where it's like, I ask the Lord, like, Lord, how different Saul's reign would have been if he was humble. Like, how different his situation could have been if he remembered you, and yet he didn't. And we see the impacts of that. We see the impacts of that is disobedience, the jealousy, where he chooses to see the negative things in David instead of seeing where the Lord is providing. And we see in David this heart of repentance, whereas Saul is consistently trying to prove his side and trying to prove repeatedly that he is in the right. And so I've been learning a lot about how much I want to be like David and how much I am sometimes like Saul. And just this encouragement to live a life of repentance, that we won't be perfect and that we will find things in ourselves that are hard, but to model after David and just to seek the heart of the Lord, to choose humility and to choose repentance and just see where the Lord takes you from there.
Thanks, Daniel.
The last year and a half has been just a very exciting time for myself. I just highlight two groups that I'm involved with that provide a lot of spiritual direction and backbone and challenge and so forth. First Bible study that Kevin Brait started 20 years ago. For years we met in the Victoria Medical Building, and that has just been a tremendous, has led to tremendous growth for all of us who have been involved in that just for years. A good number have become baptized that were part of that group, but just led to, you know, greater levels of maturity for everyone. And so that group has continued, and just such a blessing. In addition, involved with a group called Peacemakers, and you may have heard of us before. Through COVID and the challenges brought on by COVID, it's really led us to think deeper. You know, what is the Lord doing? I think COVID clearly has been challenging for the church in many ways. You know, it's led us to think, how might church do church differently, and these kind of questions. But one thing that is apparent to us, and I think to many, but the pastor Rob highlighted this morning, Jesus' heart, his challenge in John chapter 17 of unity within the church, and just what a great value that is for him, that there be unity amongst the believers. And so that's, as Peacemakers, we've met weekly for the last year and a half, looking at these kind of questions and looking at unity within the churches in Prince George. And just as our friend here talked about, the strength of, you know, all of the churches in Prince George being united. Another question is, Peacemakers, it's related, is what is the church's response to the homeless question in Prince George? And we've done a lot of work, a lot of thinking on this, and there is more that we'll be talking about, but I reference you, I dug up the scripture there, which is a guide to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 to 16. And really, I think there's a promise there. It's with mature believers, if you are a mature believer, you will achieve the mind of Christ. Together we will achieve the mind of Christ. And within that, I think there is the clearly answers can be gained as to how to deal with homelessness in Prince George. So we continue to work hard on this. I think that you're going to be seeing some concrete action coming from us over the next months that we'll be talking about. In addition, our Peacemaker group, we're going to be meeting with the ministerial later in the fall to talk about how all the churches in Prince George could be more united together. And that truly is very exciting. So out of all of the challenges and pain of COVID, I think that there's just the potential for great things to happen. Mm. Thank you.
Thanks, Rolf. And thanks for your spiritual leadership in our city. Greatly appreciated. Last call for an opportunity to share this morning, and then we'll close with a celebration song. But would there be one other person out there that would love to share? And God has just got something burning on your heart, and you need to share it with His people. Bob, come on up. And then worship team, if you could come on up as well, and we'll wrap up.
Something just pretty basic. David had adversaries through most of his life, even when he was a shepherd, before he'd entered into the service for King Saul. He was fighting off lions and bears, and then once he was into the his role as a soldier and as an attendant to the king, and all of these things, more and more adversaries. And yet, his faith in God, his trust in the Lord, kept him going. And so I think one of the things that I have learned, certainly in the last year and a half, is, you know, as we work on the Board of Elders to just steward the church, there are so many things that can come at us. And COVID certainly has thrown us for a loop and has changed so many things. But, you know, how do we make it through? How do we not get overwhelmed? And it's just continuing like what David did and have that faith and trust in God and know that that burden is carried by someone else, is carried by our Father in heaven. So that's one of the things I've learned, mm-hmm. Rob.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Bob. And if I could invite our congregation to be just regularly praying for our Board of Elders, Bob as moderator, and the rest of our team, that we would experience unity, which we have to this point, and we're grateful for that, and that we would continue to persevere through the different stages and seasons that we're at. We would certainly appreciate that. So thank you so much for each one who shared this morning. And again, thinking about the fall, the first Sunday of every month, we are going to be having a service where we're celebrating together through music, through communion, and through testimonies, declaring to one another what God is doing. Over the course of the fall, we're going to be focusing on discipleship, one of our key priorities as a church family. What does it mean to follow Jesus? What does that look like? And we're going to be looking at our number one model and teacher, Jesus himself. And so I invite you to be already anticipating how God is going to be speaking to you and leading you and transforming you as we look to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Awesome opportunity as we recalibrate and refigure things out, what it means to be the body of Christ, to look back to our leader, Jesus. And so let's stand together and let's worship as we bring our service to a close.
Yeah, before we leave this morning, let's just give one more song of praise to God. He is so good, amen. Oh. face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. Oh, we thank you, Lord, 'cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. So our eyes are on you, 'cause in your presence, all our fears are washed away. Encouraged as you leave this place today, just be blessed. Go in peace.